I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 4 p.m. Happy Monday. It's kind of a weird day. There doesn't seem to be a lot in the news. Maybe it's just me, but we're just kind of riffing and free-flowing, and Linda's falling. And
got headlines.
Can I say one more thing that bugged me?
Sure.
I promise this doesn't have to do with religion. But last night when he was on the tightrope, he said, "It just feels so good to do exactly what God made me to do." And I just don't picture God being that big a fool. You know, like sitting up there in heaven and you're knitting this baby together in its mother's womb. And you're like, you know what, Moses, this one's going to walk the tightrope. Like, could it be that you were born into a family that's been doing it for 200 years? Could that be why you're walking on a tightrope? I'm doing exactly what God made me to do. Like, had he been an accountant, God would have been like, you're supposed to walk in a tightrope.
I will admit, it opens up a lot of questions about, like, what is God's intention for somebody's life? Can that be one? I guess.
There's something called the Harlequin syndrome, where babies are literally born inside out.
Whoa.
Maybe work on that, as opposed to, you know, specifically making people to walk on a tight wire. Maybe have babies not be born inside out.
You think you were made to do radio?
No. God, no.
You think you were made to be an attorney?
No. I don't think I was made to do anything. I think I'm a product of my genes and my upbringing, and then I had some chances, and I took some risks, and things fell the way they fell, like everybody. No, I don't think anyone. I think if you're 6'7" and really athletic, you could somewhat say, oh, I was made to play basketball. Well, yeah, you kind of were. But no, I don't think that. Do you guys?
I think whenever he says that, he might think it comes from another place, but to me it comes from a place of ego of like, yeah, I'm on this planet to walk on the tightrope. And then you can say that God created you for it as a way to, I guess, sound more humble.
Well, even putting aside God, when people say, like, I was made for this, or, oh my gosh.
I think there are people who definitely hit a certain groove that, you know, everything's firing at once, but I think those people are few and far between, and that's what makes extraordinary people extraordinary. Like, Michael Jordan was probably, I'm sure there are in the multiverses we've talked about, plenty of them where he's not playing basketball and he doesn't have this life that he has now. But whenever you take those steps and you find something that, I don't know, I guess it's a question of, do you believe in destiny?
No. And I don't. And I also don't believe, and I also don't believe that you can do anything you want. I don't think everyone can be president. I don't think everyone can play for the Cardinals. I don't think everyone can be a Supreme Court justice. I get the sentiment, and it's a nice thing to tell children, but I just don't think it's true. Remember, Close and I had that fight a lot, where he would say, I think you can do absolutely anything you set your mind to.
Yep.
I just don't think that.
I'd have to agree with you on that. Not everybody's going to be an NFL star. There's no way.
Even if you try really hard.
Yeah.
Even if you try harder than most.
That's all you did.
Yep.
I'm going to be Andy Roddick. Still, I'm going to play tennis.
Still might not make it.
Except I suck at tennis.
Hello, Scott. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. When did you become so cynical?
What do you mean by that?
Well, every time there's something on about God, you just seem like you've gotten really cynical over the years.
Well, I'm an agnostic, but I also think it's being realistic and not being a baby. The fact that I don't think that God made Nick LaWinda to walk on the tightrope, I don't think that's being cynical. I think
he didn't necessarily make him to walk on the tightrope, but he probably made him to walk on that tightrope so that he can get the word out to people that may not know, and for a way for him to demonstrate his faith. You know, I mean, most people, they're afraid of death and they're afraid of dying. And, you know, when you accept the fact that you're going to die one day and that you're are going to be reborn and be in heaven, it kind of takes the fear away from it that, you know, there is something else besides the end.
That really has nothing to do with what he said.
Well, it seems to me like that's probably the meaning behind him saying that. I have no idea, but...
That's right. You have no idea. I have no idea. Maybe I am cynical, but I think that another word for cynical can be realistic. I could say to you, like, why are you so silly? But that would be a really jerk thing to say.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But people tend to make fun of, I wouldn't say make fun, but be cynical whenever someone says, or, you know, God gave me the strength to do this, or God intended me to do this. Some things do, yeah, it seems a little corny, but no one has any idea what God's intentions are, and hopefully
again,
one day we'll find out.
Again, I agree, but I don't think that makes me cynical. I think that's just my opinion. I think it's very realistic, and I have the exact same opinion when you take God out of it. I don't think people are, you know, born to do this or that. I think that you end up doing something because of a million different things that happen in your life, many of them accidental. Certainly it takes, you know, hard work and luck and all of that. But, you know, I think that it's giving away too much of our power when we say things like that. Now, if you're a person of faith, that's fine. But
what do you mean by we're giving away our power?
I just think that we write too much stuff off by making everything magical. When you say, oh yeah, he was born to do that. Of course he did that. Maybe I'm wrong.
I completely agree.
Maybe there's a God, and maybe he picked Nick Wallenda to walk on the tightrope, to be on ABC and praise Jesus, and maybe people accepted God last night. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I am open to that. But it pisses me off when people like that accuse me of being cynical when it's just my opinion that disagrees with theirs. I'm not accusing him of being Pollyannish or a baby or a tiny thinker.
I'm just saying those things.
Well, I didn't, though. Yeah. I didn't call him or just like, look, it's, and I think that it takes so much to do something of note that it just sort of belittles it when you write it off to magic.
I don't think he was writing it off to magic. To me, I take that statement. To me, it's different if he says, I did this for the glory of God. At that point, I'm like, great. But when you say God made me to do this, that's not chalking it up to magic or anything. To me, that's an ego thing of like, this is the only thing I ever could do is ride, walk on this tightrope across Times Square. That is more ego to me.
I agree
than
with you.
Saying it's for God's glory.
I agree with you. And I will admit to finding it annoying, mostly in sports, when someone intercepts a pass and then they do the whole pointing up to the sky and thanking Jesus. That to me is belittling to God. And I understand that God...
You think it's belittling to him?
I think it's just sort of stupid.
I don't have a problem with that.
I don't hit a home run and point up... You thought that was belittling God?
I don't think God gives a rat's ass whether Albert Pujols hits a home run or if someone intercepts a ball or if some... I don't think he cares.
God must hate that pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean... I get it, but then the person's just being thankful. There's nothing. They're not making a theological statement. They're just saying, I'd had something good happen to me. Thank you.
Yeah, I think this is when I would even accuse you of being cynical in this situation, Dave, because someone can do that and it doesn't mean like, you're welcome, God. Like, I'm giving you the glory. It's just to be thankful, like Ryan said. It's like whenever you say a prayer before you have a meal.
Maybe.
God doesn't need you to do that, but it's consider it if you believe in God to give him the glory for something. I think that's great. I think it's cynical to assume that every single person doing it is doing it to look good or to...
I never said that.
Right.
I said I don't think God really cares that much.
So
again,
you shouldn't do it?
Again, there's so much in the world to care about. And I know it's God. God can do lots of things at once. But it just seems so silly to think that God even noticed that you intercepted a pass.
Ah, man, I guess I disagree. I think it's wonderful to praise him even for little bitty things. even if, and I'm not saying this is the only reason, but even if it just changes your heart.
Right. It's just being in a positive mindset. Even if you don't believe in God and you're just thankful for the little things, you could say, oh, the universe doesn't care that you're thankful for a soft bed and for coffee in the morning and for sunshine. Why would you even take the time to acknowledge it? You know, what I mean? To me, it's the same thing.
See, this is different. What do you guys think?
When it comes to sport, I mean, I don't know that I'm looking into it quite as deeply as you guys are, but I always think it's silly when you see somebody win a game and go and thank God and, you know, without him, this doesn't happen, because I always think to myself, well, does that mean that the loser didn't pray hard enough or the loser didn't try? Like, right. I agree. I don't think he has any care, or I don't think he cares one bit about. Now, I also understand that if you're just thanking him for your ability, your chance to be here, if you believe that he put you in the position to be where you are and gave you the riches in your life, and you're just thanking him for that, not necessarily giving him thanks and the reason why you just won or did something good, then that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I think we do a little too much. I don't think he cares one bit about sports and about what you just did and the home run you just hit.
But I think most of the time it is just an acknowledgement of, like, God gave me the chance to be here.
And that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that it is. But if it is that, then that's fine.
And we don't know. And I'm sure some of them are just grandstanding.
Maybe.
Well, it's like any other.
Some of them mean it. We don't know.
Some of it's authentic and some of it's fake. But
right.
We don't know.
But I could lie. And yeah. I could be like other people, and I could say things that make people like me on the radio, as opposed to saying, like, I think they're just showboating, and I don't think God cares that much if they intercepted it. But the easy thing to do is to say, like, no, they mean it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dave Glover Show. Dave Murray joins us today.
Hello there.
Was Saturday rainier than you thought it was going to be?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a hell of a storm blew through it in the morning.
Yes, that was expected. The morning stuff was expected. It lingered a little bit longer than it probably should have, but it got out of here. It eventually got out of here.
And then is
got the baseball game in. That's all that matters.
Pretty nice week coming up.
A great week coming up. Big high pressure system in control. Every once in a while, there's going to be a little weakness in this big ridge or dome of high pressure from the north-northwest. That's going to allow maybe a little shower or thunderstorm to squeeze into the area. I think it's going to be really tough. I basically want to look at from now until Sunday, mainly dry, partly to mostly sunny skies, 90 for highs, 70 for lows. There could be a spot thunderstorm Wednesday afternoon. There could be a spot shower tomorrow morning, but I don't want to dwell on that. I want to dwell on the idea that we've got some great summer weather coming up. Nothing weird, just some really good summer weather coming up.
It's been crazy, and you nailed it in your summer forecast that it was going to be not a very hot summer.
So far, so good.
It's nuts to me that we are almost to 4th of July. And we've not had any really hot days. Have we above 95 really at all this year?
I don't think so. We've been 90, 91, 92, but...
By this time, we would have normally at least had a handful of crazy hot days.
At least a handful. A handful.
It's wild. I keep waiting for, like, these, you know, those summer, St. Louis summer days, and it just... I'm not saying that I miss them. It's just it's just weird that we haven't had any yet.
I don't see a lot of it. I think in the summer forecast laid out, there might be about 10 days like that in July, and that might be about it.
It kind of tricks you into thinking like summer's still not here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I keep waiting for summer to get here. Like, it must still be pretty early in the summer but it's not. We're like, technically it's very early in the summer, but as far as kids, summers, and summer vacation, and that, you know, we're kind of coming up on the halfway point. And
what happens here is that, on a summer like this, we don't get them very often, but we have had them from time to time, is all of a sudden you're in the middle of August, and you're talking about school starting, and it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We haven't had a summer.
The summer never even started. Right. Yeah. Better than a bunch of 100-degree days.
Do you think the weather and the seasons are less predictable, weirder than they were decades ago, or do you think it's just our imagination?
I think we hear about it more. I think we tend to forget about what's happened in the past and just focus on what's going on right now. But no, I don't think it's harder to predict. The one thing that's happening with forecasting is that there's so many different computer models out there now that if you don't know what you're doing, it can lead you down the wrong path very, very easily. And you got to really focus in on the true forecasting and then go look at the computer models and say, okay, maybe that one's okay, maybe that one isn't, and know what the physics are about each one. That's the key. But you're also hearing a lot more about the weird weather across the country.
Yeah.
And every time you hear about it, the news anchors, whether it be local or national, are going, oh, this is the strangest, this is the biggest storm. And then you have sound bites of people saying, I've never seen it like this before. But it has happened before.
Yeah. Rage Headlines.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. The big headline at Schnucks this week: join our mission roundup at the Register through July 4th to support Folds of Honor and help send the children of fallen or wounded military heroes to college. Going on through July 4th. Wow, this is so great. I saw this over the weekend. A body cam footage shows a Hazelwood police officer rescuing a toddler and their grandmother from a house fire. The house fire took the entire home. If he wouldn't have been there, I don't know if they would have been able to make it out. It's really, really cool footage to see. I retweeted it this weekend. It's on my Twitter account right now, at RachelZ971. Sorry, I can't figure out how to get that video on our blog, or else I would put it up. But just pretty cool to see.
Did you see the video of the mom catching the kid who's falling off the ledge?
No.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, because the mom is there talking on the phone and her like 2-year-old is on a ledge with the divider, but he can obviously get through it. And he gets through it and falls, and then she dives and catches him by the foot of his onesie.
Wow.
So it's like, thank God, but it's also like, you probably shouldn't have him playing next to a ledge while you're on your phone, though.
Right. The video is really interesting to see, because in the movies and stuff, when you see this happen, it's such like an angelic moment of like, are you okay? Blah, blah. And this police officer is just getting business done. He's like, give me the kid. Takes the kid, finds a person, take care of this kid, goes back to get the grandma. It's very real and very cool. So go check that out if you haven't seen it. Bernie Sanders is calling to wipe out $1.6 trillion in student debt by taxing Wall Street. They want to put a tax on speculation from major Wall Street banks, with a 0.5% tax on stock transactions and a 0.1% tax on bonds. He says the country has bailed out Wall Street in the past. Now it's time for Wall Street to bail out the middle and working class of this country.
So we talked a couple of months ago that I didn't know this, but the biggest asset on America's ledger are student loans.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing we own, is the money owed to us on student loans. Mm-hmm. Having taken out student loans and having 2 decades ruined by them because I didn't pay them. I don't know. I understand that it's a big deal. I've been there. It sucks, but you shouldn't take them.
Is college even worth it anymore?
No, of course. Well,
it depends what you're going
into. Depends on the degree,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not a catch-all like it used to be.
You also may need it, because not having a college degree is like not having a high school degree was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
However, going to a private college and paying 20, 30, 40, 50 grand a year out of your pocket, or taking out loans so that you can get a job in radio sales or something, not worth it.
You made a bad investment at that point. Whenever you spend $120,000 on an education and then you're hired into a job that pays $40,000, that's a bad investment.
Yeah.
I definitely feel bad for the people who are buried in debt. I was fortunate enough to where I don't have any student debt. I went to community college for 2-3 years and then didn't pursue any education beyond that. And I'm doing okay in my career. I know there are plenty of people who feel buried by it and handicapped by it, but
I know that Bernie Sanders hates capitalism and corporations and Wall Street, but these are human beings too. I mean, I don't believe in corporate welfare. I think that a lot of things like that have been a lot of shenanigans and monkey business. But why should one human pay for another human's bad decision?
Well, Kristen on Twitter says, what about all the money I already paid back? So what do you do at that point? You've paid off your student loan debts. Is the government going to pay you restitution for what you've already paid?
Of course not.
No. Yeah.
Everyone, it's to me, it's like illegal immigration. That there are people out there who got in line and waited 7 years and did everything they're supposed to do, and then someone sneaks across the border and you go, you know what? We're just going to make it okay.
Yeah.
We're just going to give you amnesty.
We just finished up Christine's not that long ago.
Oh, wow.
There's not a single person.
And that's crazy.
There's not a single person that has student loan debt who didn't sign a piece of paper. Now, could you have made a mistake? Yep, I did. Is there an argument to be made that this happens when you're really young and kind of stupid? Yep, that's the way it was for me. But there's not a single person out there that has a dollar of student loan debt that didn't sign a piece of paper.
Exactly. Yeah, no offense. I don't want to forgive the debts of the Dave Glovers out there who took out an extra loan to go to Europe and all the different things you did, you know?
Sure. We did the same thing. Yeah. I remember being married in our townhouse with Grace born. Christine had like one semester left. Needed whatever, a couple grand, not much at all. And we took out as much as we could because I was like, imagine all the things that we can do. Sure. We got this new baby and we can pay for our, and we'll deal with it later. Mm-hmm. And it, of course,
sure,
bit us badly. Right. But you're young. They're taking advantage. It shouldn't even have been an option.
Yeah, they shouldn't give you the option to take that much out.
She was literally like 12 credits away from being done, and we could have paid for another 2 years of college with all the money she took out.
I mean, what does that say about our country? What does that say about all those people that owe the $1.6 trillion? Sure, if I still owed my money and Bernie Sanders wanted to wipe it out, I'll take it. I'm not an idiot.
But at the
same time, how head patty is that? It's almost like an economic version of soft racism where it's, all these people are so stupid and cannot take care of themselves and they're not a person of their word. They signed a piece of paper. They got the money.
And
whether they spent it on going to Europe or tuition, they got the money. They spent it. But we're not going to hold them responsible. We're going to charge Wall Street, who has nothing to do with it.
And it always hurts the average citizen. You can say, like, the whole fight for 15. You can say, well, we're only going to hurt these big corporations like McDonald's who have enough money. Nope. It's always going to trickle down. Oh, we're only going after Wall Street because they have enough money. Guess what? It will trickle down.
And
we will be the ones end up paying for it.
It's all about making it too easy. Like, how many times when you were young did you go, like, to a Cardinals game and there's someone handing out Cardinal blankets? All you have to do is sign up for a
credit card, yeah.
So I think that sort of predatory stuff is bad. And then making bad decisions. I went to WashU Law. I should have gone to Carbondale because Carbondale offered me a full ride and money every month.
Wow.
But I was all thinking I was a genius.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to WashU. And they offered me a half scholarship. So I went there and then took out all the student loans because, like you said, Tony, well, why wouldn't I?
Right.
These are poor decisions that a 22-year-old Dave Glover made. My decision.
Right, right.
No
but then
else.
You had and to you deal with the consequences of that, and you're better for it. It seems like what we're saying as an American society is we don't want to have anybody have to deal with any consequences for any action.
And what's
Let's
next?
Just go to people that have money and take it from them.
Yeah.
And that way we don't have to do anything hard.
And what's next? You don't have to pay to go to school. You don't have to pay for healthcare. You don't have to pay for your house. You don't have to, like, how many things can we give away before there's...
And what are they going to do when all the people they're taking it from leave?
Right.
When you just figure out that...
Or stop producing because there's no benefit in producing. Stop starting companies because what's in it? Why would I start a company just to have everything taken away from me when I could just sit back and do nothing and have it all handed to me?
What pisses me off is there's never an acknowledgement. It's never like, hey, look, we have a group of people who have busted their ass or they're incredibly talented or incredibly lucky, and they make a lot of money and they have a lot of money, and we're going to take some of that so that the rest of us can XYZ. There's never an acknowledgement of that. It's always there are these evil people that they don't need everything they have. And they, you know, the Obama, Elizabeth Warren, no one got there on their own. It's like at least say thank you. You know, at least some acknowledgement that you're taking my money to pay someone else's debt. But there never is. Mm-hmm. It's just you don't deserve it.
And we're already seeing
the big, you're the big bad enemy.
Yeah, yeah, you're the enemy. Yeah. How can you be the enemy when I am literally paying for all your free stuff?
Because it's like people in their teens rebelling against their parents. It's like, you owe this to me.
Yeah, but Bernie's 76.
I know what you mean,
like,
but that's the mentality is it's like those people are the people who are really in charge, so they need to take care of it. I'm not responsible for myself. I can't make these decisions for myself, and I need you to fund my lifestyle. It's a very childish way of thinking.
Yeah, and it's not just young, it's not just children thinking that way anymore, though, now.
If
now you, we're talking about people in their 30s and 40s that are saying
personally,
that.
Personally, if you came to me and said, we're going to, if we take another 5, 7% of your income, we can pay for healthcare for all these people who don't have it. Like all the people who produced, all the people who made money. Personally, I would do it because that makes sense. I would personally give up a pretty good chunk of my income if it were going to go do something like that. But I'll be damned if it's just going to be, we're just going to take what you have so that we can just have a bunch of free stuff.
Yeah.
That's bullcrap.
And I don't trust the government to spend the money correctly.
No, of course not.
Never.
No.
Oh, we're going to create another entitlement program and we'll do what's best.
Right.
No way.
God help you if you go to college and get a degree in meteorology. What are you going to do with that?
Nothing.
These are the people that we have to bail out.
Right.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. You're in Shy 5. Coming up at the top of the hour, we have a live interview with Bill O'Reilly, exclusive for the station. Right now, Frank Cusimano joins us. Frank, Tony Colombo has a hot take on Pujols. Go ahead, Tony.
I just thought it was, I thought it was too much. I thought it was over the top. I didn't think he needed a standing ovation for every single at-bat. I didn't think he needed to be his name chanted with the bases loaded. I get it, and I expected an ovation, and I think he should be welcomed back warmly by the crowd. It's just by Sunday afternoon, and we're still given standing ovations for an at-bat in the seventh inning is just like, okay, it just got to be a little too much for me.
Well, if you had the exact same number of people there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and those Sunday people were there Friday cheering, and they were there Saturday cheering, I'd agree with you. However, it's probably maybe 10-15% of the people that were there Sunday that were also there Friday and Saturday. So they certainly have, you know, it's their prerogative that they want to give Albert one incredible ovation for the very last time. You know, I think if I just went to the game Sunday and I hadn't been there Friday or Saturday, I would have gotten up and cheered for him with each of his at-bats too.
Yeah. It just seemed like a bit much to me.
Well, there's a percentage of people that are in your camp, but those are usually the negative people. But go ahead.
No, I said we should. I expected him to be welcomed back warmly, and I think he should have been welcomed back warmly. And I think that we should have given him, you know, cheered for him for the things that he did while he was here. It just after 3 days of it, it just got to be.
So if you're at the game on Sunday and you didn't go Friday and Saturday, well, you know what? They cheered for him on Friday and Saturday. I'm not going to really do anything.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what I would do. It is. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Just got an email.
Yeah. Yep. From Albert.
Who is this Tony Colombo guy you're talking to?
I'm more happy about the fact that we took 2 out of 3 over the weekend than, you know, worrying about making sure that we cheered for Albert in the seventh inning of on Sunday.
Yeah, that was big that they managed to get 2 out of 3, and they almost stole the game last night.
Yeah,
I do think that if you would have conducted a poll when Pujols came to the plate with the bases loaded in the ninth inning, it, you know, and it looked really bleak for the Cardinals. It looked like one of those nights they just weren't going to score, and we've seen quite a few of those. That if you would have conducted a poll at that moment, do you want Albert Pujols hit a grand slam? I think over 50% of the people would have wanted it.
Oh, I think it'd have been about 90%.
That seems crazy to me, though. Like, why would you want to cheer against yourself? I get giving him the honor that he's due, but at that point, all right, guys, let's take it down a notch.
Well, if the game, if you think it's over, why not have a little drama in a miserable game for the Cardinals and have something like, oh my God, did you see this? Pujols in his final at-bat hit a grand slam. Is that, you know, that is something that's pretty insane.
Sounds like Frank hates Cardinals.
there's bad news for the Cardinals as we speak. I don't know if you guys have heard it.
No.
But Jordan Hicks, who had up until like Friday night the most electric arm in baseball, has a UCL tear, and those things normally end up with Tommy John surgery, and those things normally end up for being out about a year. Mm. So that's not good.
That is not good. The one silver lining is that Tommy John's and that type of injury is, I mean, it's bad for now, but it's no longer the career ender that it used to be, right?
No, and I think if you talk to most doctors, you know, you got about a 75-80% chance. But here's the thing. He's 22 years old. And what doctors have told me, that Tommy John lasts about 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, so does that mean Jordan Hicks' career is over 29?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was inevitable, too. It's just, when a guy's throwing 104 miles an hour, there's going to be an arm issue. It's just a shame. He's a nice kid, and he's a terrific talent.
Yeah.
Did the Blues pick up anyone in the draft of note?
Anybody who says they can really critique an NHL draft is lying, okay? That's my take.
Yeah,
agreed.
So I don't know.
Agreed.
They all say, oh, it looks, this guy's really good, and I guess the video of the second-round draft choice looks great, too. But the Blues offseason is going to be about, you know, maybe keeping some of their own players, paying Berube, paying Jordan Binnington.
Seems like they should have just drafted Albert Pujols. He can freaking do anything.
That solves it all.
Yeah,
that's sure.
All you need to do.
Right.
Do
is bring
put him in
to
the
town.
White House.
Yay.
All right, Frank.
This is the 11th at bat of the weekend.
Woo.
Wow, what a bitter bunch. Goodbye.
We miss you. Cynical.
We miss you so much.
He just hung up on us.
Just hung up.
It hasn't been the same since you left.
That's funny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.